Is Fast X one of the best Fast and Furious movies? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, Fasts and Furiouses. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Hi, Roxy. Nope. And she's gone. Like, and then Roxy left.
I'm not doing the show anymore. I'm out of here.
Oh, this show, my goodness.
Sucks. I don't
mind. Roxy will say hey in just a minute. And then with me is Adam, our special guest for today. How you doing, Hello, man?
I'm great, man. I'm very excited to talk about this. Talk about Fast X. I'm very excited to see the fate of Roxy's camera.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. Listen, if you're listening to the audio version of this, you have no worries. But if you're watching the video, like, hey, man, we're doing the best we can here. We can't hear you, Roxy. Your mic's muted.
I'm going to punch a hole through the fucking wall. That's how I feel this morning. I'm now on my... I'm going to use the camera on my computer.
Perfect.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there we go. Done. I think that's a great solution. I support it. But it's okay. We've decided to build our entire infrastructure on these imperfect things, and we love it. Yeah. It's fantastic. But now that hopefully we found a solution for that, Adam, man, how are you doing? For the kids that aren't familiar, who are you? Where can they find you? What are you up to?
What the hell am I doing here? I have a YouTube channel with my buddies Augustine Rios and Hector Navarro. It's called Heroes Reforged. We do reaction videos every week to brand new shows, brand new movies. We are in the middle of doing House of the Dragon, which is our first foray into the Game of Thrones universe.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. I'm actually really liking the show. I've seen, this is going to like piss people off. I've seen, I think, 5 episodes of season 1 of Game of Thrones, and then I saw all of season 8. Gotcha. I didn't think season 8 was like as bad as people thought, but I also don't have the context of the other 7 seasons. I'm excited to eventually get to that show.
Listen, man, I feel like I'm on the same page with you on multiple reasons. One, I didn't dislike season 8 as much as everybody in general, even though I watched the entirety of the show. But what you did is basically what I did with Lost, is like I watched like a handful of episodes, like the Penny's Boat, like that sort of thing. And then I watched the finale. And so when everybody lost their mind about like worst finale ever, I thought it was kind of good. I don't know.
Did you watch Penny's Boat or did you watch not Penny's Boat?
Whatever the line. I watched a couple of season premieres and season finales. I was like, cool. But you know, it's tough with it. I would argue getting into Lost at the time was even harder than Game of Thrones, because especially those first couple seasons of Lost were like the full 24 episode.
Yeah.
Like now
long
entire
seasons.
Yeah, entire series will come and go with less episodes than the first couple seasons of Lost.
Yeah,
also,
I don't
remember when Lost was on. How would somebody go about binging it? Order it on DVD?
Yeah, like buy the entire, great point, like buy the entire
Netflix
series
on DVD.
Yeah, exactly.
R.I.P.
Damn.
Well, listen, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I do think this is pertinent conversation to what I want to talk about in news. But before we get into that, I want to mention, of course, if you want to watch these episodes live, if you want to see them ad-free, if you want to check out Patreon-exclusive shows like What We're Into or Spider-Versity, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Also, on the YouTube, specifically YouTube show, Sal from Comic Pop and me are going through the X movies, the X-Men movies. We just did our episode on X2, X-Men United. And those happen live every third Wednesday of the month. So check those out too, please and thank you. Also, if you listen to these over at Spotify, every week we ask a question. This week's question was, who is your favorite Guardians of the Galaxy character? Ray Alvarez said, before Volume 3, Nebula. Now I'm tempted to say Rocket. Great character stuff for him in Volume 3. And Bribnib said, Nebula. Adam, who's your favorite Guardians character?
Great question. We actually just did the same thing on our podcast. We used Hector was very excited about this. He brought over all 12 of his Guardians of the Galaxy action figures.
Yes.
And we ranked them all in order from our favorite to least favorite, which least favorite is still a pretty cool character in the Guardians universe. But we unanimously came to the decision that Rocket Raccoon is the best character in the Guardians trilogy, at least for us.
I'm excited today because I think when I was watching Fast X, I was like, okay, I need to talk with Roxy and Adam, and we need to go through all the characters and like figure out who the MVP is of this, of specifically Fast X, and like the merits of each character. Roxy, before we move on from this, I don't know if we had this specific discussion on our Guardians episode. Who's your favorite Guardian?
We just did the same thing for the World Girls, where we did a full
Everyone's a full doing ranking.
Awesome.
So we did a full ranking, but who my favorite is did not win. For us, we ranked Drax as number one. My favorite's Gamora, but very specifically after the third one is Gamora.
Yeah.
Genuinely feel like any answer is pretty valid, unless you're saying like Kraglin. Then I'm like,
then it's like, well, I don't know. Hold on. That. The only
who's 12, Adam.
What's that?
You said 12.
Well, like, we had all the main characters from all three movies, so it wasn't just Guardians 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only person whose favorite Guardian is Kraglin is James Gunn. So be on the lookout if you're listening on Spotify for the question as part of this episode. But now let's hop on over real quick to news. And I wasn't sure what we should talk about for news this week, but I thought this information dropped that, of course, there's news that Disney is merging Hulu and Disney Plus, which I hate because that probably means I will no longer have access to all those FX episodes that are on Hulu.
Does that mean that?
It doesn't necessarily mean that, but here's what makes me think it might mean that, because when it comes to, in my opinion, when it comes to business bros and CEOs, they will always look to see what the worst person is doing, and then they'll all do it. So everybody looked at what Dave Zaslav did and like, wait, we can delete content?
We can write stuff off?
We can just delete content and number go up? Because this is something we've been doing. If you let CEOs get rid of people or things and number go up, they will do that. So layoffs and number go up, layoffs are happening. If
7,000 layoffs at Disney, I think.
Yeah. So it's a completely artificial and it's bullshit, but this is not a business podcast. We don't need to get into that. But with the news of this merger, a bunch of things are going away on Disney Plus and Hulu, but the two main ones are Willow on Disney Plus is now off the platform or going to be off the platform, and Why the Last Man is going to be off, which was a recent FX series, is going to be off the platform on Hulu.
Where are they?
Once they're gone, they're gone.
Oh.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, the official term is called impairment charge.
Cool. And they will probably go to maybe one of like a freebie service, like a free streaming service with ads. What is it?
Yeah, I think that was in the article that they have the potential to maybe like something like Willow could maybe go to Netflix to try to like see if they could get more numbers and more people to watch it. I don't know.
Yeah, Netflix is like, because I know you guys covered Willow on Heroes Reborn.
We did, right? And now no one's going to be able to watch the fucking show with us.
Yeah. So like what do you all think about this?
Dumb. It's so dumb. I mean, there was some talk. I did see some conversation on Twitter that it may also have to do with paying residuals to creators, you know, writers and all that sort of stuff. I don't know how true that is. I'm not super familiar with that whole process and what all those deals are. It sucks. I mean, it sucks that our audience can't watch it with us. But more importantly, you know, especially Willow at the end of that finale, they teased up that they maybe wanted to do season two and season three. It's not going to happen now. I can't imagine that even if they were to sell like some distribution rights to Netflix or whoever, or HBO Max or whatever the case may be, I can't imagine that the numbers will do so incredibly well that they'll be like, you know what, we'll do a season two and three. Like, I think the show's done, which is a bummer. I thought it was fun. Like,
you did?
I had a really fun time watching that show. Like, I didn't have any expectations. Yeah. I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, because I don't have any sort of like childhood nostalgia for Willow. So I was just there having fun, drinking with my friends and watching a show, and I was very entertained, and that's kind of all I was like hoping for.
Are you not entertained?
I thought the same thing, Roxy. So Roxy, what about you? What do you think about the purge that's happening?
It's like I'm trying to wait until we fully know what everything looks like. I started hearing those ads on my ad-filled Pandora that were like, start to bundle now because da 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 da, and I was like, oh, fucking A. Like, I think a lot of people probably hear it and get very excited that there's everything's going to be in one place. I feel the opposite.
Same. I was, when we were doing our X-Men show, Sal was like, the mistake was everything should just be on Netflix. I'm like, hard disagree. hard disagree.
I would much rather like type in a different app than,
Well, you're touching on something that I found kind of unsettling is I've seen an upsurge in people on Twitter being like, yeah, finally we're realizing that everything we did in the cable era was great. Yeah, we want things to be bundled. We want them to be choked with ads. We want them. It's like, well, wait, time out. I'm not saying our streaming system is working. Yeah. But going back to cable, because I think they're thinking back to when they were children, like, yeah, cable is free. It's like, no, cable is free because your parents were paying for it. Cable, you spent a lot of money. Mommy and
daddy paid for it. Yeah, man. What are you talking about?
You spent an exorbitant amount of money for cable to get channels that you wanted like one channel and you had to pay for like 50. And then they were like choked with ads. It's like, no, I would listen, man, I'm getting ready to spend money on the ad-free Paramount Plus, man. I don't want ads. I don't put ads back in my life, please.
Yeah. That is the one good. There's a lot of good parts of the streaming services, but one of the good ones is that our cable shows do go there, like ABC to Hulu, which I really appreciate, or NBC to Peacock, theoretically. Yeah. Sometimes they take a day or two, but like they end up there, which is cool. I feel like maybe they're going to stop doing that at some point.
Yeah.
Which would be brutal. And we're going to need to have both cable and the streamers again. Yeah. You guys cord cut a while ago. Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah. No cable here, but it's funny because I have this conversation with my mom all the time because she still pays for cable and she's like, I'm paying $200 a month for 400 channels. And the only thing that I watch is The Bachelor and grandma watches QVC. And I'm like, well then just get rid of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Fuck
man.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, but where else can you find QVC?
I have no clue.
That's or comes on Hulu.
Yeah. See, so just get, and that, I think the idea of, I find Hulu incredibly useful of the streaming apps. Like, again, that's where I watch my FX shows. I mean, that's enough, but like
Rocky, CW saying, like, stuff on Hulu.
No, not anymore. CW
stuff is Warner Brothers
and they have their own, not that great app that with ads.
The CW app is the most atrocious piece of trash.
They could use actually a streamlined system. Remember when HBO Max announced HBO Max when they had just announced, what was it called? DC Universe?
DC Universe,
which was on top of CW Seed.
Yeah.
And all three of those came out like right at the same time and kind of like, what? But then Stargirl moved from HBO to CW Seed and Titans moved from DC Universe to HBO Max and like all of that. That was super fucking confusing.
Yeah.
Super confusing. And like we love watching Superman and Lois, and the only reason we don't watch and react to that show on a weekly basis is because it's on the CW app. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with ads. Yeah. Like,
it's also, you're not annoying. As dedicated as DJ and I are watching Flash 8 seasons deep with the worst show that is on television. Great.
Yeah,
No.
Yeah, we made the mistake that like Rox and I kind of in some ways kind of got our start covering the Flash. We're like, it's the last season of the Flash. Let's check in, and it was a mistake. It's upsetting.
We did text really funny things about it.
I know that's a bummer because I've heard nobody talking about that show. And is the season over or is it still?
We got one more episode. We got one more episode.
That was the penultimate.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's shockingly rough. Like the reason nobody's talking about that show is because I don't know when it happened. It was on a downward slide when we stopped watching, but it is like bad now. And if
the
you want
from this week is the second to last episode ever.
Yes.
Where is Barry?
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, we got to set up fucking Cecile's new superhero identity.
Adam, Barry has been gone. Barry Allen's been gone all season. Yeah. He literally pops in for 2 minutes an episode, if that, and he's just been gone. And part of the storyline is that he's just gone.
They're like, where's Barry?
The titular character?
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's rough. If you want to hear Rox and I's coverage of The Flash, you can do that over patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Okay. Now, In the chat, we've got Leonard Kim says, I'm good with needing less streaming apps. I'm not good with content erasure. I know, like, back in the day, it used to be like, especially even before home media, if something got a show got canceled, bye-bye forever. But we don't need to go back to those darker times. I don't want it to be all streamlined down to one app. I like some options. I'm okay if we want to kind of bundle them together, but I don't know that going back to cable, a version of cable, is the solution. All right. Enough of that shit. Let's talk about Fast.
The greatest movie of all time.
The greatest movie ever created. Ever created by human beings. So our main topic, and we're going to start off spoiler free, is Fast X, directed by Lewis.
Spoiler.
The trailer has everything in it.
It's directed by Louis Leterrier. I've never learned how to pronounce this guy's name.
Louis Leterrier.
Is that it?
I think it sounds French to me.
It sounds French. Written by Dan Mazou and Justin Lin, Dom Toretto and his family are targeted by the vengeful son of drug kingpin Hernan Reyes. Gang, what did we think? Spoiler free. Adam, we'll start with you. What did we think of Fast X?
I loved it. It was so dumb, and I loved it for that. This is not really I don't think this is a spoiler because it's been in the trailers, but, you know, obviously this character Dante has been retroactively put into previous movies.
Yep.
And I was like, this works for me. I don't care how far-fetched and dumb this is. This totally works for me. And Jason Momoa is he's the first villain in the Fast and the Furious franchise who understands what movie he's in. And I'm like, I'm so on board with it. And it's weird because I feel like in the beginning of the movie, he is eccentric, but not to the point like he is in maybe like 40 minutes into the movie, all the way till the end. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is so fun. There's a scene that I won't spoil, but it reminded me of a scene in Batman 89 with the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, this is just as ridiculous as I would hope a Fast and the Furious villain would be. So he was, for me, definitely like the standout of the movie. There's so much action in this. Like, it does not stop. Like, it literally pedal to the metal, like, no, like, pun fully intended. It doesn't give a shit about any sort of like coherent story. It's a very basic plot and a very simple story, but it's not really worried about that. It's mostly worried about, like, let's keep you engaged for 2 hours as we blow up everything. And I'm like, okay, I love it.
It is funny that you can kind of feel them figuring out the character of Dante as the movie goes on. Like, oh, this is what we're doing. I got it. Yeah, all right, yeah. Cool. Roxy, Fast X, spoiler-free thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with all the Momoa stuff. It's interesting for people who haven't seen it yet who have said to me, like, I keep hearing that Momoa's character is amazing, but in the trailer he seems so kind of basic. And I was like, that's true.
100%.
They did not show in the trailer how like awesome he is with it. And like those slight spoiler on his hair, those pigtail buns, man, like, yeah. Just loved him. Like,
he looks like such a regular like crime boss looking guy, and then he starts having these like very interesting outfits, and I'm like, oh, this is what this character is. All right, let's go.
He's great. He's so good. I really like him. And he's so nice to look at.
Yes.
But I think that the movie is excellent. One of the main comments that I've been getting as I've been talking about this, people say they say it like this: is it at least better than Fast 9? And I don't feel like a good person to answer that question because I thought Fast 9 was amazing. So, like, clearly a lot of people have said that this franchise has fallen off after 7. I don't feel that way. I feel like it gets better and better. Like, I thought that Fast 9 seriously was, like, the cure of the pandemic. Like, we came out of the pandemic to Fast 9, and it was like, I have never been happier in my life. So, I can't answer it. Do I think this is a better movie than Fast 9? Maybe, but I love Fast 9, so it's not a knock on that one. This one's just like goes a little harder in the paint. And I mean, like, I'm pretty sure somebody at some point, like, really was flying. So, like, there's just, like, people. I mean, it's a superhero movie. Yeah. And I love superhero movies. Some of the lines are, like, I do wonder how much this movie knows. Like, does Vin Diesel know how soap opera it is? Like, is he aware?
It is funny.
I hope so.
Yeah, there's certain actors that you know get it. Like, the second Alan Richardson's on screen, you're like, oh, he gets it. He knows what movie he's in. Somebody like Brie Larson.
Way more than Brie Larson.
Yeah, and it's not, and again, we'll talk about this later in spoilers. Nothing against Brie Larson. I have nothing against Brie Larson. I think she's a talented performer. I don't know that movies like this or Captain Marvel use her to the best of her ability. Like, I don't know.
Right, as opposed to, like, The Room.
Yeah, like, she should be in serious dramas where she actually gets to act. Like, actually, like, do stuff. Totally rocks it. I do think I am the perfect person to answer the question of this is better than Fast 9, because I did not like Fast 9. Mm-hmm. And I before I get into that, I do want to say the Rotten Tomatoes score for everybody at home.
Cannot wait to hear this.
Roxy, have you looked at it?
No, and I'm wondering, what are previous Rotten Tomatoes scores for these movies?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, they've got I think Fast 5 through 7 probably have the best score.
Well, Fast 5.
Like, are we talking in the 80s or, like, where?
Okay. Oh my God, that doesn't seem right. Anyway, okay. I want you. Okay, so obviously there's the tomato meter and the audience score. Mm-hmm. Roxy, we'll start with you. What do you think the tomato meter is, which is the critics, and what do you think the audience score is?
I think the tomato meter is probably, like, 62.
Okay.
And I think that the audience score is probably, like, an 87.
All right. Adam.
Oh man. I'm going to say that the critics meter is probably, like, I'll say 55, and I'll say audience is maybe, like, I'll say 85.
Adam, did you look at this before? Have you seen this? Did you see
No, swear to God.
The tomato meter is 55%, which, by the way, is lower than Fast 9, which is insane to me.
What? That's crazy.
What did I say, 62? I wasn't that far.
You were close.
I made it fresh.
And you were close on your audience score, which is 84%. Both of you were close on the audience score, which is 84%. Okay. The critics' consensus, as irredeemably silly as it is satisfyingly self-aware, Fast X should rev the engines of longtime fans while leaving many newcomers in neutral. Sure.
What movie do critics think they're watching?
Dude, I don't know. And the audience I was in was eating it up. They were laughing at the lines you're supposed to laugh. When a character showed up or, like, one of the crazy things happened, they cheered. It was a blast.
I genuinely think that Fast 5 came out and it was so good compared to all the other movies that I think critics maybe go into it being like, no, we want Fast 5 every time. And I'm like, but why?
And this movie, I don't
remember the differentiation. I don't remember what. I can't recall. Fast 5 was what?
Fast 5 was essentially the prequel to this movie, the setup for Dante's character. And it was the first time we got The Rock.
I will say
the Ocean's 11 movie of the Fast franchise.
It's where this franchise settles into, oh, we're James Bond, Ocean's 11 with cars. And it's crazy. Like, they settled into what it's become. And I will say, I don't think this movie does itself any favors because it opens, what you were saying, Adam, it opens with, like, retroactively inserting characters in the 5, which was just a reminder, like, hey, remember how good 5 was? It's like, well, maybe don't make me compare you to that one, because that is still the benchmark. But to the question you've been asked, Roxy, for me, here's how I would articulate. I think 9 is not as good as this movie or as most Fast movies, because I think the Fast movies have to do a very tricky thing, which I like to call the dumb fun ratio. It needs to be more fun than it is dumb. This isn't Oppenheimer, all right? They're Fast movies, okay? We're not coming in here with sky-high expectations. But so things like, spoilers for 9 if you haven't seen it, launching a car up into space to shoot a satellite is more dumb than it is fun. And it kind of breaks what works about these movies.
Oh my God, that is so untrue for me.
The magnet stuff is more dumb than it is fun.
Oh my God, what fun is.
Yeah. They went to the United States of Space in the last movie and I was into it.
Yeah, and so, like, there's one moment for me that breaks, and it's a brief moment in Fast X, as a spoiler, I won't mention it, that kind of breaks that tightrope. But for the most part, and I don't want to ruin specific stunts, but let's say, like, driving a car down an exploding dam. That is on the right side of the dumb fun. Is it dumb? Yeah, but
well, I don't get what your line is.
That's the line. It's the stuff that, like, it, I think what it is this. So, like, this has happened in previous movies too, so I'm not spoiling anything. Like, if a car drops out of a plane onto other cars and crushes those cars, is that how cars work? No. But is it how your inner 13-year-old wants cars to work? Yeah. And it doesn't require you. It's all about the vibe. It's all about, like, you're not breaking the reality. For example, like, Roman has a running joke in 9 where he's like, I think we're immortal, which makes me start thinking about the mechanics of this movie in a way that is like, oh, wait, this kind of sucks. Like, you know what I mean? It makes me think about it. It breaks the fourth wall in a way that doesn't benefit the movie. Whereas yeah. Alan Ritchson in this one, he has a line where he's like, yeah, pretty much every bad guy they fought is invited to a cookout and then they're part of the family. Yes, it's like a cult with cars. It's like, ah, yeah. See,
that's like one of my favorite scenes.
That meta is one that doesn't kind of like poke holes in the reality of the movie. It uses the kind of what we've done in all these movies and pokes fun at it in a way that doesn't undermine what the movie's doing.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that. Like when you say, we launched a car in space to shoot a satellite, we did all this stuff. It's like, well, you could have just launched a missile. You know what I mean? So suddenly now I'm not engaged in the movie because now you've gone too far in a way that isn't within, like, that dumb science fiction stuff isn't Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious is using car, like jumping a car and hitting a thing to hit another thing to stop a thing. That's the kind of dumb Fast and Furious does. Saying magnets do this now, it's like, well, that's not how magnets work. And now I'm not out of the movie. It's like, don't do magnet shit. That's not what Fast and Furious is. Do car shit. That's what I'm in for. That's my line.
It's unclear to me, DJ. I feel like you just described the same thing over and over again, but I'm okay with that.
But
like,
listen, most people's least favorite Fast movie seems to be Fast 9, so I'm not coming from nowhere.
But you just said it was higher on Rotten Tomatoes. So it is. Most people.
By like 50, who it's 50.
Most people.
Most of the people I follow, like Adam will know this. Most of the people I follow on Letterboxd, it's like if you look at their Fast thing, 9's at the bottom.
I mean, I would say that I would say the Fast 9, that scene in particular where they're talking about sort of like the meta about being, I was like, why are we addressing this? This is so unnecessary in a Fast and the Furious movie. Like, move on. But I would say that I liked Fast X more because I felt like it was more entertaining.
Yeah.
And I was kind of more just invested in like the spectacle and the dumb action and the humor. Where I feel like 9 sometimes it tried taking itself a little too seriously. And I was a little surprised by that because I feel like they will do that sometimes, but it's only like a character. It's not necessarily like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it took itself seriously. But regardless, I just don't understand.
I still liked it, but
I don't see. This could just be the dumbest comment ever, but like, I don't see how you could dislike a single Fast movie. I could see how you could dislike all the Fast movies or none of the Fast movies.
Oh, totally.
I just feel like they're all not the same, but like,
they're all ridiculous.
It's the same thing. Like,
listen,
you know what you're signing up for.
And I would say 5 is the most like, and this is already a stretch because they're ridiculous, but 5 has like the most like logic behind it, even though it is already ridiculous. Well, I think that's why people latch onto that movie so much and their expectation is all of them should be like that. I'm like, but why? Let them be their own thing.
To your point, Adam, though, I think a lot of people can be, even people that like it, can be dismissive because of the silliness of these movies, but there is an internal logic to them. It is not reality logic.
No, not at all.
But there is an internal logic. And again, it is kind of that like there's very specifically a shot in this movie where we got to get the Nas in there, but Vin Diesel hits the Nas and the camera zooms out. We see the car, it zooms down his arm, it zooms into the car. And what is silly and early aughts ridiculous as that shot is, it actually does
Fast and the Furious.
But it's the ethos of Fast and Furious. It's like, what if cars were like an extension of your body and you were able to use them like action movie characters use their bodies? Like the ridiculous things John Wick does. What if you could do that with a car? That's kind of the internal logic. And it's loosey goosey. It's not like hardcore, like it's not hard science or anything. And it's definitely not realistic. But I think I think that's why people latch onto them it's fun and it can be ridiculous, but it and its best forms, it's not stupid. And I would argue stuff like shooting the car into the face is stupid and therefore not as fun as some of the stumps we get into Fast X, which is why I enjoy Fast X more. That's my thesis on the Fast movies. We've got some questions here. What?
Sure.
Okay. we got some questions that I think we can answer spoiler free. So let's try and do that before we have to shoo the kids away for spoilers if they haven't seen it. Leonard Kim asks, bearing in mind Vin Diesel's insinuation that it'll be a trilogy to cap off the franchise. So Vin Diesel's been implying that Fast X is the first of three movies that are the end of this franchise. Does Fast X kill off some key characters, or is this one too soon? Do you think that there will be any casualties at all, or will everyone just get to ride off in the sunset by the end? I think the best spoiler-free way to answer this question is looking at the next 2 to 3 movies, however many movies it ends up being, finishing the Fast and Furious franchise. Will this be like, are we going to lose people, or is this going to be light spoilers for Guardians? Kind of like, hey, everybody gets a happy ending.
I feel like after watching this movie, I was kind of surprised. I'm going to try to tiptoe around something. I was kind of surprised with the ending, how much, like, as you said, Vin Diesel said that this is part of a trilogy to end it. Yeah. I don't think he's loosely said that. I think he straight up said that.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised compared to previous movies' endings, how much this is leading into another movie. As opposed to like being a little bit more of a full circle, you know, like, yeah. I could feel the 1/3 of a trilogy aspect of this, which makes me think that there will be in the three throughout, there will be some deaths. Yeah. I do think that that's something that they're thinking about.
What about you, Adam?
I actually agree because, well, first of all, this is so messed up, but like my brain, when they announced Fast 10, I was like, cool, it's going to be 20 years, 10 movies, great. Then they were like, we're going to split the last movie into two. And I'm like, 11 movies? I hate that unevenness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now they're like, we're doing a trilogy. I'm like, you're going to make 12 movies? Perfect.
Yeah.
I love that. So I'm like, I'm all aboard for that. And if it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be just a continuation, great. But I do think that there will be casualties. And I think there are some characters that I think would be totally cool if they have their happy endings and they ride off into the sunset. And it would be cool also if we did see some characters die. If everybody survives and they all have a happy ending, am I going to be upset about it? No, I think it's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if there are some casualties, like, all right, cool, let's make them fun. Let's make them like huge and make them hugely impactful. And I'm all for it. So I'm pretty open to whatever they honestly want to do. I don't think that this will happen, but I would like to maybe see Justin Lin come back and do one of these movies. But, you know, if it's Louis Leterrier for all three of them, sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Leterrier fan, but watching this, I was like, yeah, you're the perfect director for these types of movies.
Has he done, DJ?
The Incredible Hulk. Didn't he do the one with Jet Li, or am I?
I'm not sure. But definitely, you know, I did rewatch The Incredible Hulk last week. I actually really enjoyed it, and yeah. I was not a big fan of that movie, and I was like, you know what, this movie's actually like not that bad. I if you compare it to the rest of the MCU, yeah, it's not as strong, but it's actually like a pretty good movie on its own.
It is funny, man. He did the first Transporter. I actually really like the first Transporter. Yeah, he's perfect for these types of movies. So to answer the question,
you prefer him to Michael Bay, DJ?
Yes. by a wide margin.
There we go.
Okay, so to answer this question spoiler-free, do I think there will be casualties based on this movie alone? We do get a moment that it certainly implies that we lose a character. However, after that, we also get a moment that says, like, by the way, there are no stakes in these movies. You think a character's dead? Nope. So it's like,
anything could happen.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, listen, like Adam was saying, I'm along for the ride. I don't. You know, this isn't even Guardians. That kind of is even more, I would argue, like serious and kind of takes its material more seriously. It's like, listen, there are no stakes in these movies. I'm not worried about anybody's safety. The one character that they most easily could kill off is the one character they never will because the actors passed away. and that also leads to Jake Hefner's question. Again, spoiler free. Do you think The Rock is missed in these movies? Honestly, I kind of miss Luke Hobbs a little. And I will say, yes, I think maybe the best movies The Rock's have been in are the Fast movies he's in. But I think more even so, while I do miss him in these movies, I think more broadly, I think, I don't know if y'all noticed this. This was another Fast movie where Vin Diesel's basically siloed off from the rest of the cast, mm-hmm. which made me start thinking like, why do we keep doing that? Why?
Yeah.
And I think,
are you implying that that is because of not scheduling reasons?
I'm obviously, we know famously him and Dwayne Johnson had a beef. Right. I'm wondering if he might just generally be kind of difficult to work with, because it's always like he gets, and I think this was true in Fast 9 too, it's definitely true of Fast 8, he gets a scene with Michelle Rodriguez, hey, we're married, family, and then like he's off, he gets paired with new people or bad guys, but he's not hanging out with any of the other main cast, and it just is suspicious. Maybe you're right, Roxy, maybe it's scheduling, but I think he needs a counterpoint. And that would have been Paul Walker's character. And I think there, obviously there's nothing we can do about that, but it is like, because you were talking about, I think both of you kind of mentioned kind of like the seriousness. And I do think Vin Diesel's parts almost might be weaker than the rest because he's acting as if he's in a drama. And it's like, I mean, I think it would be benefit if he had a main character to bounce off of, specifically Paul. I can't remember Paul Walker's character, but like
Brian O'Connor.
It's not gonna be Dwayne
Johnson.
Come on,
DJ.
Sorry, but it's like it is. I think it's becoming too monolithic, I think, around Vin Diesel, when I don't really think that's what the Fast movies are.
Yeah, and I mean, truthfully, like in my opinion, and I don't think anybody would disagree with this, but I feel like this franchise was built for, not for him, but Paul Walker, Brian O'Connor, was supposed to be like the main character.
Yeah.
And then because of the popularity, and I think because Vin Diesel kind of got more famous, quote unquote, than Paul Walker, it kind of shifted toward being Dom's story. But I agree. Like, I think the Brian O'Connor element is missing, and I miss that. And I think while Vin Diesel usually was more serious, Brian kind of had like that levity to him that I think audiences could relate to a little bit more. And I think that's kind of what The Rock provides in some ways as Luke Hobbs, because The Rock is just kind of doing The Rock thing. And nobody's really replaced that character, even as good as some of the other characters are. Like Michelle Rodriguez as Letty is great, but she's different than Brian O'Connor. She's a very different type of character.
Between this, she might get the best fight scene in the movie, her and Charlize Theron. And between this and Dungeons and Dragons, and she was this movie called Widows that I love. Like, we need to give Michelle Rodriguez her flowers, man. She needs her own franchise.
Awesome. I love her in everything she's in.
DJ, I was thinking about that. Like, I feel like she's not an A-list celebrity.
Which is insane.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
Because so she's in like the most major of the major franchises.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I said her name to people who are not in the industry, sometimes they wouldn't know who she is. What is the deal?
Totally.
I don't know. I do not know. But I think I'm hoping that like Ron, like, listen, I love Hobbs and Shaw, but like, do we want a Letty spinoff? Like, come on, man. Like, let's just do the Ladies of Fast and Furious. I'd watch the fuck out of that movie.
Yeah, you could do a story that takes place in between, like, what is it, 4 and 5, where she, like, you know, loses her memory and all that stuff. Like, just do it. Why not? Give Michelle Rodriguez her own movie.
All right. Any more, before we go into spoilers, any more spoiler-free thoughts?
I would say that the one thing that I was surprised by was how, like, all the characters are off on their own sort of adventure. Like, I kind of miss seeing all the team together. And, like, there's moments in some of the previous films, but I definitely feel like this is leading towards, like, an Avengers Assemble moment,
whether it's
Fast 11 or Fast 12, where all the characters are going to be together to fight, whether it's Jason Momoa or whoever else comes in, all the villains.
Yeah.
Just bringing all the villains and all the heroes. Like,
Vin Diesel's like, I don't have friends. I have family.
I got family.
Portals open up behind him. Wait, where? How are portals here? What's happening? Doctor Strange shows up. Like, wait, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, what's going on?
Sure, why not? Groot, Rocket, whatever.
It's a universal property. So, like, the T-Rex from Jurassic Park comes out. And we'll open up with spoilers. Everybody watching live, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. If you haven't watched the movie, now's the time to bail. Okay. We'll open with this question from Mike Joyce. Do you think they'll include stuff from Hobbs and Shaw, like the evil organization or the super soldiers in the last two Fast and Furious movies? Dom does a lot of crazy stuff. Could Dom secretly be one of those super soldiers? So I think this was ruined before the movie came out, but I'm going to treat it like a spoiler. post-credit scene, Dwayne Johnson, Luke Hobbs shows up, which makes sense. If we're going off Fast Five, when the Dante, Jason Momoa gets a line of like, Dom drove the car, but you fired the gun. It's like, yeah, Luke Hobbs should be a part of this. If we're saying it's a trilogy, DJ's vote is, because we also set up a whole Jason Statham thing involving his family, which was a big part of Hobbs and Shaw. If we're doing a trilogy, it should be another Fast movie and the Hobbs and Shaw sequel that's part of this trilogy. Like, we should like let, because it's like, I don't know if Idris Elba's character fits with the core Fast movies, but if Idris Elba's on the table, are you telling me you're not going to include him in your big finale? Come on, man.
Yeah. At first, when the scene is with Charlize Theron's character and Jason Momoa coming in, I was like, oh. And he's super powerful. I'm like, is he part of the super soldier program thing? That would have been really cool to tie it in.
He's just a psychopath.
Yeah. And I'm like, honestly, I'm bringing everybody. I literally like do not care. Bring in Vanessa Kirby, bring in Helen Mirren, bring in Idris Elba. Like anyone who is living in the Fast and the Furious movie, just put them all in the next two movies. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the story is, honestly.
What about you, Roxy? Do you want more Hobbs and Shaw stuff? What do you think they're going to do with Dwayne?
I'm so with Adam. Like, throw it all in. This is one of those movies that you can overload and will be totally fine. I am super interested in, like, it's so public that Vin and Dwayne,
The Rock,
like, can't be in the same, they don't like each other.
Yeah.
It seems to go both ways. You kind of never hear that shit about The Rock. Like,
It's the first and only time I've ever heard about it.
Yeah. So I feel like, are we going to be able to see that? Are they not going to be on screen together much? Like, because that's weird.
They'll be composited into every shot together.
I mean, I think there's room for it because there are so many characters and we did such a good job of like having everybody else off. I think me saying that one of these three movies should be a Hobbs and Shaw sequel is a stretch, but it can be kind of a de facto one, just like the same way like Roman and Tej and the rest are off on their own little thing. It could just be Jason's, it's a Fast movie, it's Fast X2 or whatever we're calling it, but a huge chunk of it is Dwayne and Jason hanging out. Yeah.
Trying to save Helen Mirren.
Yeah, because listen, man, I like those two actors in their action roles. Like, I'm into it, and like you're saying, I'd like to see Vanessa Kirby back. And again, I can't stress this enough. More Idris Elba always. Like, why not? It's like,
all day, come every on, day,
man. Like, let's do it. I'm into it.
I'm just thinking about like, okay, I don't know that there are bigger alpha males in Hollywood than. So we've got The Rock.
Yes.
We've got Vin Diesel. Yes. Probably the two biggest. Jason Statham.
Whether his star power is as big, his ego is definitely as big.
Yeah.
Totally. Tyrese, who is just like, actually thinks he should star in every single movie that's ever existed, ever. Mm-hmm.
Watching him on the red carpet, I'm like, bro, if without Fast and the Furious, I mean, you'd be fine, but come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, his campaign for Green Lantern was like one of the most egregious things I've ever seen. Not because I don't think actors should throw themselves in the ring for things, because I do think that, like, if you want something, go for it, but like, you know, the everyday posts about it. It's like Hollywood knows. They know.
We're aware. We got your letters.
Just like unbelievable. So like, no shit, there's going to be issues, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like they're on set. It's like, bro. Give it, bro.
They're always bumping each other's chests, puffing up.
I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I definitely feel like you can see a lot of the seams of the making of these movies in the sense of like, there's so much ADR done and there's so much like off-screen chatter, off-screen talking when the camera's like, it's on Michelle Rodriguez, but Vin Diesel's having a full conversation with their son. And I'm like, man, are you guys like changing these scripts like the 5 minutes before you're filming and it's all being ADR'd and redone in post? And I'm just so curious, like, you know, talking about everybody's ego on those movies of like, well, I think I need more screen time in this scene or I need more dialogue in this scene.
Right.
And how much of that is being changed on the fly, like,
and my helmet needs to be off. My helmet has to be off in every scene because it's a money maker.
Yeah, well, it's tough too. And I think a way to resolve this, one of the other issues is there is a lot of bloat in these movies. So when we talk about like letting characters die, it's like, honestly, we should have like we should have, each one of these movies, we probably should have shelved a character just to like streamline it. But to that point, not only won't we do that, so the thing I was mentioning earlier is there's a moment.
Not only will we not kill characters off, we'll bring some back.
I do want, before we go, I do want to go through each of these actors and talk about what they bring to the movie, because there's so many standouts. One of them being, for me, John Cena. I like John Cena, I'm not sure he quite clicked in the last movie. This John Cena, it's like, yeah, this is the good, this is my favorite John Cena. John Cena
was like the cool uncle.
Yeah, cool uncle John Cena. Ooh, baby. We imply that maybe, possibly, he might have gotten blown up. But then a few minutes later, like, hey, remember when Gal Gadot fell off a plane to become Wonder Woman? Guess what? She's back now. So it's like, okay, so John Cena is going to be in the next movie, man. All right. Yeah. So it's not, there's no stakes. What do we think about, well, it's Giselle, right? That's the name of the character. What do we think about Giselle coming back?
Well, I don't know.
I
was more intrigued by the submarine coming back than her coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, why are they? Why is that in Antarctica? What's up with the submarine?
Yeah.
I agree. I was more like, why there? And then she opened up. I was like, yeah, all right, that makes sense.
Sure, whatever.
I was like, okay, this is what you have to, if you're a Fast fan, this is what you're thinking at this point, right? What can we do that we haven't done?
Mm-hmm.
So we ventured into outer space. We've gone a little bit underwater, but not fully. I mean,
we haven't done a full car chase underwater. That's a good point, right. Roxy.
Straight up, like,
bring in James Cameron. Come on,
yes.
You guys are joking. I think that there is room for a lot of underwater stuff in the next two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Enter submarine.
And like, to your point, Roxy, I've been watching, I've never seen the Riddick movies, the Chronicles of Riddick movies, so I've just been watching those on Netflix, and I forgot that Dame Judi Dench is in Chronicles of Riddick, and Vin Diesel did a whole campaign to get her in this silly ass sci-fi movie. So I could definitely, Vin Diesel would love to be like, yeah, we're using the Avatar technology for Fast X2.
Yeah, like, just, you mentioned Judi Dench just made me think about this. Like, I can
put her in the movie.
Yeah,
I cannot believe the caliber of actors. Like, the fact that they've gotten,
oh my Charlize, god,
the fact they've gotten Charlize for this long, Helen Mirren, is just like,
yeah,
Abuelita, yeah. Rita Moreno. I'm like,
yeah,
anyone will do a Fast and the Furious. My god,
Rita Moreno, man, like holding court at that table, just so great. To the original question about Giselle, is that her character's name?
Yeah, I think so.
Fascinating. What you got, little mama?
Like, yeah.
What you doing here? They seemed happy to see her.
Yeah. How do you survive the plane fall? Does it matter? Who cares?
Just like with Han surviving in Tokyo, there's going to be some whole insider backstory thing that they're like, she landed and she like landed on some device contraption thing. And, you know, they're going to figure out a way to write it if they haven't already. And I'm like, yeah, okay, why not? She's not doing any more Wonder Woman movies probably. So
there you go. And listen, man, that runway was already the longest plane runway in the history of the universe.
18 miles.
So let's go through these. Let's go through these actors real quick. This will be our last thing. We'll go through these actors and talk about, you know, like, how important they are to the movie and to the fun of the experience. And of course, we got to start with Vin Diesel, Dominic Toretto, the de facto lead of these movies. And I've already kind of gone on paper saying, like, nothing against Vin. I'm enjoying the Riddick movies as I watch them. I love these Fast movies. Again, it feels like, in literally and figuratively, he's in a different movie than everybody else.
I don't disagree with that. It's like, it's so hard because Dominic is one of those characters that I'm like, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of other cool characters in the movie, but you're the thing that keeps it all together.
Yeah.
And it's not Fast and the Furious without you. You have to have him in there.
He's the glue of the family. What are you talking about?
Exactly. But I'm saying, as Vin Diesel, I'm like, I'm not that impressed by you, but like, you are the glue. So you have to be there.
DJ, tonally speaking, you mean? Or like, what movie do you think he thinks he's in?
Well, one, he's off from the other characters. And two, again, he's not.
Even when you say that, I'm kind of like, was he?
Yeah, because it's the once the house gets attacked, he interacts with Daniela Melchior's character, the sister of whatever. And he interacts with, but he's not interacting with Roman. He's not interacting with Tej. He's not interacting with Letty. Like, our other core team is off doing something else entirely. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody else is able to, like, access, like, hey, we're having fun. This is fun. And he's like, no, this is serious. This is a serious threat to my family. And it's like, yeah.
Isn't that kind of his character?
I'm not saying, you know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think I also, when I watch movies like this, it's like, yeah, we get it. Dom is good at everything. Dom always wins. Dom, you know what I mean? It's like, maybe we were talking about Dungeons and Dragons, like maybe a little bit of that Chris Pine, like willing to like be the underdog a little bit.
Yeah, but that is so not who the character is. Like, what we've done is put our backs against the wall a little bit because we've invented a character that has no kryptonite.
Yeah.
That will be everything.
He's the Superman of the franchise.
Yeah, he says, you know, to his kid, I will be home. He will be home. Like, we know he's not going to die.
Yeah.
He's indestructible. But goddamn,
if they kill him, I'd be like, great.
But they did do something in this movie, you know, like he didn't win the car chase.
Well, but not because Momoa cheated.
Right. I'm just saying, like, I don't think we've even seen him lose anything ever. And yeah, I was like, okay, Vin Diesel's contract loosening up. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think that goes back to I think we did a classic like Rocky III ending where like him and Paul Walker race, but who won? That with Paul Walker being gone, that's gone. You know what I mean? That any sort of question of who the lead of this franchise is gone. And I kind of wish. I feel, and maybe this is me reading into the, the news, around the movies. Like, I kind of wish like Vin Diesel would let his ego take a back seat more, and I think it would make the movies a bit more engaging. As much as I enjoy them, I love them. I love this movie. I just think like it would help sell the threat more to make me a little bit more invested in his character. We already talked a little bit about Michelle Rodriguez's Letty.
She brings so much to the table.
Also, again, now that we're in spoilers, that fight with her and Charlize Theron in the laser lab room, it's like, and again, I think a lot of the women get some of the best action scenes. And again, I think it's because they don't have the ego. They're not coming into it with the egos that the guys do. Like, yeah. If I get hit, I have to hit back just as hard. And it's like, no,
right.
Just make the scene cool. And like, and this is also we should talk a little about Charlize Theron as Cypher, who kind of doesn't need to be in this movie, except as it's Charlize Theron. If you have an option of having her in the movie, put her in the fucking movie.
Get her in there.
Yeah.
I mean, she had her action scene. I was like, this is why, where's Atomic Blonde 2? Come on. Yes.
It does make you kind of wonder, are Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron like the two of, if not the two best action stars of the day, like of the time?
This movie makes an argument for that.
Awesome. I mean, Michelle Rodriguez has been doing a lot of, she had a really good fight with Gina Carano in Furious 6. She's proven time and time and time and time and time again that she is a worthy action star, but yeah. We're like nobody's utilizing her. Fast and Furious is, but nobody else is, and I'm like, more, just more.
Yeah, totally.
I just think like you think about, okay, when you think of women action stars of our time, when you think of action stars, there's so many, but there's like Angelina Jolie, there's Emily Blunt, there's Michelle Rodriguez, there's Charlize Theron. Like, there's not that many that you think like action immediately. And we've got two of the three. And if you count Gal because of Wonder Woman, like they're three of the biggest hitting action stars all under one roof. That's cool.
Maybe we'll get a three-way fight between the three of them in the next movie.
That'd be amazing.
Please and thank you. Please and thank you.
About to be a what?
So then we get, of course, Tyrese Gibson as Roman, Ludacris as Tej, and Nathalie Emmanuel as Ramsey.
Can we talk about Ludacris?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, because I think he is like the most underrated person in the franchise. Talk about somebody who is very clear on not being the alpha male of the group.
Yeah.
Like, thank goodness for Ludacris in these movies, who kind of like goes with the flow, but also pushes back on like the absolute idiocracy that is the rest of them sometimes. I love his character. Like, when you think Fast, you don't think of him first. Yeah. But I just think that he is like, he deserves his flowers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's also crazy to me still. And I understand that we're on the 10th movie, but this is freaking ludicrous. Like, mm-hmm. and it's ludicrous that this is Luda. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Well, can I do the counterpoint to that when you talk about the egos? I actually think I'm always pleasantly surprised around Tyrese Gibson because, like, I don't think Roman ever wins a fight. He's definitely not the best. Like, he's kind of everybody's punching bag. And so it's like,
he's bummed by that.
Clearly.
Always.
Like, he's
always
not happy. And, like, the whole premise of this movie, DJ, was him. Like, that's real life. Yeah. This was art imitating life. The entire premise is Tyrese being like, but what about me?
Yeah. Totally.
Like, okay.
And we also get, I should mention, I don't know why I don't have him on my thing, the actor that plays Han.
Oh, yeah. Sun Kang?
Yeah.
He's great, too.
Yeah. I would like to see a little bit more with that care, or maybe give him a little bit more. I feel like in the last movie, because it was like his return, they gave him stuff. But I'm like, okay, let's not forget that Han is in the mix. So, and it feels like, based on what they're setting up, that hopefully that side of the team, the Tej and the you know, Tyrese and Ramsey characters, like, I want them to have a little bit more to do, because they are definitely doing stuff, but it's a lot of like, stuff is happening, but it's I feel like they mostly are doing dialogue. They're not doing so much action in this movie.
But Adam, they got blown up in a plane. They're clearly dead forever, never coming back. They got blown up in a plane. I'm hoping that Han gets siloed off if we're doing like Hobbs and Shaw shit, if he gets looped into them. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. I'm like, okay, we all like Han, and he's going to fight Jason Statham. How much will Jason Statham let Han get away with in this fight?
I know. Seriously.
And it's like, okay, it wasn't too bad. Han was able to hold his own. Okay, yeah. All right. And then, we had the excuse of an entire army shows up for Jason Statham to fight. Got it. Good.
Characters I don't care much about. Top of the list, Jason Statham.
But he's Roxy. On the one hand, I totally understand. On the other hand, Jason Statham, though. I like seeing him kick people in the head.
I totally get that. He's fine. It's just like, I don't feel like he's in a different way than the rest of them. What new is he bringing to the table?
Great, solid point. You're not wrong.
No, I totally agree. Wrong. I feel like he's great. I think he is there to be great for the action moments, mm-hmm. but from a story perspective, I'm like, what are we doing with the Shaw family? Like, what?
He is here so we can keep getting Helen Mirren, Roxy. Does that make him worth it? You need Jason Statham to get Helen Mirren. Is it worth it?
I know.
Don't God feel like it. We do need Jason Statham to get Helen Mirren, but if that is the case, if it's a package deal, then okay.
Okay. What's all up, right. Good, good,
up,
good.
What's up with Owen Shaw? Is he still alive?
Dude, Luke, you know he's going to show up whatever this Shaw subplot is. Owen's going to be in there, which that was another wild thing. Like, oh, wait, we're making this a good guy now, too? All right, whatever.
Not to bring us too far off track, but because of all of the caliber of actors that we've stated so far who have all been in the franchise, and we know we have two movies left, an actor that has not been in the franchise yet, if you guys could dream cast anybody.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, I have an answer to this too. So you're, Adam, you're Tom Cruise. Okay.
Never going to happen, but God,
like,
it would be amazing.
Hero, villain, what?
I would love it if Tom Cruise was like the bad of the whole thing.
That would be great.
That would be effing amazing. Never say never.
But here's the problem. Okay, you're in a production meeting. On one side is Tom Cruise. On the other side is Vin Diesel. Who's winning that fight? Who's winning that fight?
I think Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise got a lot of juice.
Here's the only way to do it, DJ. Vin Diesel doesn't want to be recognized because he's got to be a spy.
Yeah.
So he goes through this amazing reformation surgery for that only works for a week.
Yeah.
And it turns him into Tom Cruise.
Yeah, there we go. And then he saves the day. Got it.
And then he goes back. So it is him winning the fight.
Yes.
You know, ultimately.
So my answer, Roxy, and similar to Adam, I think I would love it I love Jason Momoa's Dante, but if suddenly halfway through the second part of this movie, it turns out, wait, who's the real big bad? It's Nicolas Cage, because he was in Gone in 60 Seconds, so he's got history with car movies, and it's fucking Nicolas Cage, and you could let him go. I've heard Nicolas Cage in interviews be like, yeah, when I talk to a director, I was like, how operatic, how big do you want me to go? And you could be like, this is a Fast movie. all the way.
Go to a 10.
Yeah. No, go to crank it up to 11. 20. What's the, yeah, what do we, I think that would be perfect. What about you, Roxy? What's your answer to that question?
This is such a weird thought, but like, what if the big bad, like running everything is like Peter Dinklage? As you guys were talking about Game of Thrones at the beginning, but like, I'm never going to be sick of seeing these like big strapping men, but also like, is everybody a lot of maybe we need a brains behind the operation character?
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be not that she's a villain, but Ramsay sort of. But now also she's like kicking people in the face with her laptop and shit.
Yeah. Totally.
So let's round it out. I've mentioned this before. John Cena, I think he's fucking great in this. I think maybe the scenes I have the most fun with are the John Cena scenes in this movie.
John Cena understands the assignment. Every time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every movie I've ever seen him in, it's like why sometimes the best of the best are able to cross over the way that he has is because he's just like so dedicated to the fucking craft and understanding the assignment. I think he's going to go down. It's possible that one day he surpasses The Rock. Like he's just so good.
Yeah.
I think Dave Bautista and John Cena have so much more to offer in different ways than The Rock.
Yeah.
I won't say more, but.
Yeah, no, but I hear what you're saying, Adam, because I think, you know, in some ways similar to Vin Diesel, The Rock's locked himself off into superstar mode where it's like, I call the shots, I decide what happens in my movies. Mm-hmm. And I think John Cena and Dave Bautista in particular, are more open to, and I think the difference
craft.
To craft. And John Cena is definitely, I think, more in the action star mold. I think Dave Bautista, the impression I get of Dave Bautista, he's really interested in like being an actor. Acting. Like, if he's just like, yeah, if I'm a character actor from now on, that's fucking cool.
Blade Runner 2049, I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
So good. If you've seen Knock at the Cabin, fantastic in that. Mm-hmm. I think he's, I don't know that he will ever surmount like somebody like The Rock in terms of fame. But I think as far as like being remembered for their performances, I think Dave Bautista has a good shot. Now the new babies. We get Brie Larson and Alan Ritchson. And again, Roxy, you mentioned this with Jason Momoa, and I think it is true of pretty much the entire cast. This cast is very easy on the eyes, including Brie Larson. And I think she's very talented. But I think between her and Alan Ritchson's like, oh, I know what this is. I know how to do this.
So my most viral interview of all time is with Alan Ritchson. He famously came on the show when I was at Collider. And
I remember that,
Told me, I mean, it has millions and millions of hits. Told me, like, all about the filming of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and how he, like, it was the worst experience of his life. You couldn't pay him millions of dollars to go back. He effing hated it. Yeah. And it went everywhere. And they seem miserable on that project. Mm-hmm. And it was miserable. I hated
working on it.
Yes. I was so happy watching this because he was so lovely to talk to and so open. And sometimes, you know, like a publicist has given people their responses. He clearly was like, I'm a human being, so this is how I fucking feel.
Yeah.
Which I really always respect because it's never the right move for you career-wise. Mm-hmm. You've just decided I'm a person, so I get to be a fucking person. So I have a lot of respect and admiration for him because he wears his heart on his sleeve a little more.
Yeah.
So when I watched him in this movie, I was like, oh, and also DJ, you and I covering Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did him fucking dirty. He didn't 100% say that to me, but I think they did him dirty.
I think the show did the character dirty. I feel like part of that was because he didn't want to be in the show anymore.
I have no idea. I just like we've seen a couple different things where I'm just like, this guy is a star.
Yeah.
And he's not there yet.
I agree. Obviously, I don't have the experience you have, Roxy, but anything he's in, it's like, man, I like this guy. I like him in things. Guy. I want to see him more. Like, I think he's great.
He was on this NBC show back in the day that I covered for AfterBuzz called, it was something like I can do that or I could never do that. It was a competition show where you would like try out, you would pretend to be like in the Blue Man Group or like to be part of the Harlem Globetrotters or whatever. And you would see how well you, whatever. And I just thought that he is so good at everything he does. He's an effing star.
Yeah.
So I've seen him for years and years, thought he was a star. And this is the first time that I've ever seen him where I'm like, oh, the world is going to see what I feel like he's been hoping for the world to see, which is that, like, he didn't go in and try to be the best actor in the room. He tried to give to the service the project, and that made him such a star in this moment. Like, his line delivery, when he pauses, where he looks, how he angles, it was a bummer to me. And I turned to, I was sitting next to fellow world girl Steph Sabraw after he says his thing, and then Brie Larson speaks, and I turned to her and I said, fuck, bummer. Because Brie Larson is also so fucking talented, such a star, but the two, it was so apparent in this movie, the juxtaposition of the two of them, where he clearly is like going the Momoa track in terms of, I get what I have been brought in here to do.
Yeah.
And she is like acting her tits off. And it was like, oh, you, this is not, this is a bummer to watch it back and forth, because he is just like stealing the scene, and you are really, you're understated, and you're nonchalant, and you're motivated. And that is exactly what you've been trained to do, and does not work here.
Yeah, it really underlines like how dumb the lines are, where it's like, if you come in with the brass and the bravado, it's like, okay, I'm in it. It doesn't. Yes, I know what movie I'm watching. You're 100% right, Roxy. I felt the same way.
I remember Alan Ritchson back from the Smallville days where he played Aquaman.
Okay, Aquaman. Anyway, yeah.
So it's super cool to see him now in Fast and the Furious movies. And that scene, like his delivery of all of that stuff, where he's like, "Yeah, every villain gets a seat at the table." I'm like, "This is I want to take that clip and I want to show that to everybody who's never seen Fast and the Furious, to just be like, "This is what this franchise is." Yep. Alan Ritchson delivers it perfectly. And I wonder, and I don't know how many people that go into this franchise are massive fans of it. Brie Larson was very vocal about being such a huge fan of it. So I do wonder if like she put some unnecessary pressure on herself to like really act in this movie, when I'm like, you don't need to.
Yeah.
You don't need to. You're already talented. Yeah. Just chew up the scenery and you're going to be fine. So I don't know.
I think you can get in your head as an actor because you know this lives forever. Yeah. So you never want to be like a laughing stock.
Yeah.
And so I think it can be very difficult to know you have more juice and talent in you, and instead decide to be like, oh, the pain, the horror. But that's like what this calls for. I mean, I really 100%. Like, do you guys know who Susan Lucci is?
I know the name.
Yeah.
So I grew up, I hate when people quiz people. I so didn't mean to just quiz you guys. I just don't ever know how famous somebody is, because I grew up on ABC soaps. All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, Port Charles. Susan Lucci has won like maybe 50 Emmys. She is, if you know one person in soap operas, she stayed there this whole time. She is like the soap opera star. This woman would crush in this.
Yeah.
Like, she's never done anything else. They should be pulling from soaps.
This is a soap functional. Like, in a lot of, like, there's a lot of story. We've got Missing Brothers, people coming back from the dead. It's a fucking soap opera.
It is a soap opera. And you have to perform it like it is a soap opera.
Yeah.
And you almost have to turn off that part of you that's like, I am classically trained.
Yes.
And it's like, that is not helpful in this moment.
Yeah. My last two things with Alan Ritchson, love that we set up, that we play the beats of like, oh, he's going to be part of it. Like, nope. Hard no. This is the end of the movies. Alan Ritchson isn't joining the good guys. Fuck you. Also, his weird little half suspender, whatever was going on there.
What is that?
Don't know what it is. Liked it. Into it. Don't know what it does. And then, of course, we need to wrap up. But I think, can we all agree that the secret, not even that secret, MVP of the movie is Jason Momoa?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Not a secret.
Gets a scene. This might have been what you're missing earlier, Adam, where like we were talking about, like at the beginning, he feels like he's playing it serious. It almost feels like he's trying to do an accent. And then as the movie goes on, they're like, wait, that's not what this is. This guy's having a blast. And he even gets a scene where he's talking to two people he's murdered with their face duct tape up.
Oh my God. That's the Joker moment.
Yeah. This is actually kind of upsetting.
This is incredible. I love it.
Did you guys for a minute think that they were like alive still? Because I'm looking and I'm like,
I wasn't sure. I was like, wait a minute. I got to get a good look at these guys. Oh, no, they're hella
fly dead. In the eyeball.
Yeah.
They're
dead. I thought I was going to vomit.
Yeah. Having a blast. Love it. Love his commitment to it. I
so badly wanted him to grab one of them and be like, and I'm glad you're dead. And just like laugh and walk off screen.
Great. Jason Momoa, good work. Okay, we are out of time. Adam, where can the kids find you?
My social media is just my name, at Adam Hlavik, on Heroes Reforged. We're doing reactions for stuff. We're going to be talking about Fast X, which I think should have been called, and I will say this for the rest of my life, you should have called it Fasten Your Seatbelts, because goddamn, it is a ride.
So many puns. There's been so many puns.
All the puns. Roxy, what should the kids be looking out for from you?
You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I just shot a movie called Crust. We just
Congrats.
I'm so stoked about it. I've been posting a lot about it. You probably won't be able to see it for a while, but be on the lookout because it's fucking awesome.
Check that out. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
And we will see you all next time.